Blog Talk Radio.
Gary!
peace in my heart.
Tell me, peace.
Peace down in my soul.
Peace.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Vanessa Bell Armstrong this morning, and peace be still. Hallelujah, hallelujah. A lot of times it's what we need. We just simply need to be still because God constantly fight our battles. We just have to stay focused, and we just have to remember him. So listen, we're going to prayer, and when we come back, we're going to talk about our topic for today. So let us pray the prayer of faith this morning, because we realize it's that prayer of faith, excuse me, that makes us whole. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you this morning thanking you, Father, for another Monday morning. We thank you for waking us up closed in our right minds. We thank you for the use and activity of our limbs, our life, our health, and our strength. We come this morning grateful unto you, Almighty God, who have all power, because you brought us yet through another weekend to a brand new week starting. And we're grateful unto you this morning. Father, we appreciate you, and we love you today because it was you who first loved us. Father, without your love, we wouldn't know what love is. For you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believe on him won't perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, you've done great and mighty things for us, your people. You open doors. You make ways. You saved us, God. Oh, you've given us your spirit. You've given us a mind that we can have faith in you. We can trust you. Oh, you've done so much. You've been kind, you've been gracious and merciful unto us. And Father, you are not withholding no good thing from us that love you and realize you called us unto a work. Father, we thank you this morning. We can't thank you enough. Yet realizing you so love the world, the good, the bad, and the ugly today. You're not against nobody. Father, it's many of us that's against ourselves. Yeah, because we don't obey. We don't really seek after what's good. We believe more negative than we do positive. So help us this morning. Help us to come to you in prayer. Help us to come to you with every question. Father, help us today and give us understanding of your word. Help us to seek your word with our whole heart. Give us understanding. Give us knowledge and give us wisdom, Lord, how to use what you gave understanding to us and the knowledge that you've given unto us. Teach us how to wisely use it in the name of Jesus, that, Father, we may apply it to our everyday life and that we'll be able to help others. In the name of Jesus, we are asking. Father, your word said we have not because we ask not. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and we'll find. Knock and the door will come open to us. So this morning we're asking you. We're knocking on your door. We're seeking you today for understanding, knowledge, and wisdom. That, Lord, we'll walk upright before you daily. Lord, that we'll apply your word to our everyday lives. Father, that we'll walk by faith and not by sight. We won't just know your word, but Father, we'll live it. Help us today. and teach us how to allow it to be all about you and nothing about us. Because, Father, we gave our life to you, and now our life is hid in you. It was you that suffered. It was you that hung, bled, died, conquered all, and rose with all power. Father, teach us how to allow our flesh to live so that, to die, so that you can live. Our flesh needs to die so that you can live in us and through us. And again, this morning, we'll walk in the spirit that we don't, won't fulfill the lust of our flesh. Lord, many want prayers of materialistic things and selfish things, but this morning, we want to ask you to help us to become like your son Jesus, obedient unto you at all costs, no matter what it costs us. Father, we want to obey your word. And this morning we realize hell is a real place, a place of suffering, and it enlarges itself daily. And we want no parts of hell. Father, we're not used to that. We're used to you, your love, your kindness, your graciousness, your mercy. And Lord, we ask today that you would teach us your ways, that we can walk upright before you, and that God, when you return to judge us, we're not a part of hell in any way. Because Lord, we've turned away from lying. We've turned away from unforgiveness. We know how to forgive others now. Lord, we're not gossipers. We're not backbiters. We're not jealous. We're not in competition with anybody. Help us this morning to be your people, because you are our God. You made us all for your pleasure, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But Father, we want to be yours this morning. We want to be your sons and daughters. We want to be your saints. We want to be your people. We want to be followers of your son, Jesus Christ, in the wholeness, Father. We don't want to have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. Father, we don't want to honor you with our lips, but our heart be far from you. We want our heart and our lips to line up together. That which we speak, we want to live it, O God, in the name of Jesus. Help us today. Teach us, Lord, how to be quick to hear and slow to speak, slow to anger. Help us to forgive those who have trespassed against us. Help us to love our enemies. Strengthen us as you teach us these things. The Lord, we don't fall by the wayside because of our flesh. We love you today. Move by your spirit, Father. Father, we come this morning asking that you would forgive us all of our sins and wrongdoings, our wrong thoughts, our wrong speakings, and our wrong feelings. And though our sins be as scarlet this morning, we ask that you would wash us as white as snow. Cleanse us this morning from all unrighteousness and give us a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within us this day in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for putting our sins and wrongdoings in the sea of forgetfulness, never to remember them again. Help this morning, Lord, that we would love like you love, unconditional. Help us this morning, Father, that we would talk of your wondrous works and make known your deeds among the people, that we'll become great witnesses unto you, because you wish that none should perish. And Lord, the vineyard work will cause others not to perish. Strengthen us today and help us to walk upright in you, all in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask this morning that you would heal those that are sick here today, those that are not feeling well. When those come through the archives and the podcasts, if they're sick, God, we ask that this word would heal them. You said your word and it healed. Heal your people this morning in the name of Jesus. Diabetes, high blood pressure, heart problems, kidney problems, liver problems, eye problems, whatever the problem may be today, whatever sickness it is, you heal all manner of sickness and disease. Do it today for your people in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you right now for your healing power. We thank you that your healing is going forth in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, we come this morning asking that you would bless those that are incarcerated. Lord, remember the brethren there, the sisters there that are talking of your wondrous works. Lord, they're making known your deeds among the people. We ask this morning that you would strengthen them, that they would cry loud and spare not. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. And Father, we ask today that you would bless those that are in every branch of the military. Bless widowers and bereaved families, intercessory prayer people, preachers, God. We ask that you would bless Israel and prosper Jerusalem. Loose your ministering angels, God. Loose your protecting angels to stand watch and shield and protect Israel and Jerusalem in the name of Jesus. And Father, all our brothers and sisters overseas, everywhere, loose your protecting angels, oh God, to shield and protect. Keep them, Lord, from all hurt, harm, or danger. And Lord, those that are underground talking of your wondrous works and making known your deeds and leading others to you. We come this morning, Father, asking that, Lord, you would send extra protection their way, that God, they would continue in the gospel or to do what you would have them to do. Bless their homes and their families, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask today that you would bless America. Father, continue. We're not as blessed as we believe we could be as believers. Because, Lord, we know that you have much more for us as Americans. But, Father, when we leave a crack in the door for the enemy to come in, he come to kill, steal, and destroy. And, Father, have mercy on every American who has turned their back on you, who's disobedient unto you. Have mercy this morning. Father, forgive our leadership and have mercy upon them today. And, Lord, we ask that you would fix their hearts and regulate their minds. And remind them it's not about politics. You made the heavens and the earth. You made each of them for your pleasure. Draw them back to you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Give them another chance to get it right with you. And Lord, we ask that your will be done in America, in the world. For you made the heavens and the earth. Do it this morning for your glory. And Father, we come last, but we ask that you would bless every caller and every listener, every family member near and far. God, we ask today that whatever your people standing in need of, that Father, you would supply it today in the name of Jesus. We know you to be a right now God. Hallelujah. And there's nothing too hard for you to do this day. Or do it for your glory. And Father, that we, your people, come out with testimonies unto you, and that we don't withhold these testimonies, but that we tell what you've done for us, because we are overcome by testimony. Hallelujah. And the blood of the Lamb. We're grateful unto you, Almighty God, this morning. Lord, those that are looking for jobs, open a door, make a way. Father, those that stand in the need of better housing, open a door today and make a way. Lord, we know it's already done. You already know. We don't know, but Father, you already know. So move for your people today. Those that need food, God, clothes, need things for their children, need transportation, and not that they want to be fancy or luxury. But God, whatever you supply is what we need, and we thank you for the need this morning being supplied. We thank you that you're on our side today in spite of ourselves. Thank you, Father, for looking beyond our fault and yet meeting our needs. Thank you for being on our side today. For, Lord, if you wasn't for us, we'd be destroyed. Oh, but you be for us today. And you're more than the whole world against us. Thank you, Father. We're grateful. Hallelujah. We appreciate everything you've done and you're doing and you're going to do for us. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for saving us. Thank you for cleaning us up, setting us aside, sanctifying us. And we thank you for your spirit today, your Holy Spirit, filling us. Oh, we thank you this morning. And Father, today we are asking that you would bless us to walk according to your spirit in us. If you build us, Lord, let it rain out. Let our light shine. Let us be the candle that sit on the hill that can't be hid. Do it for your glory today. And Lord, you know what we're all standing in need of. If there's financial needs, whatever the needs may be today, Lord, we ask that you would do it for us today. Monday, March 11, 2024, in Jesus' name. Bless this segment of Jesus in the morning. Have your way here. Move by your spirit here for your people. Lord, teach us. Give us understanding. Give us knowledge and wisdom of your word today as it come forth. Lord, you speak to your people. I'm simply your vessel. And we thank you this morning. Help us today to look to the hills from which cometh our help. Father, all our help comes from you. You made the heavens and the earth. Or do it all for us today. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing and answering our prayer. Oh, we thank you this morning. Hey, glory. Thank you, Lord. You've heard us over and over and over. You've answered us over and over and over. And we thank you this morning that we know that you're hearing these things. And Father, we're praying that these things are pleasing and acceptable unto you, whatever's in us that shouldn't be. We ask this morning that you would remove it in the name of Jesus. Or heal the sick today. Touch and heal our bodies. Heal our minds, oh God. Heal us spiritually today. Again, in Jesus' name, we ask it all. Amen and hallelujah unto his majesty. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we're grateful unto him this morning. And I want to start off by sharing this a little bit before we talk about our topics of today. Yeah, I think it was yesterday or the day before. I started Saturday evening, and I went to sleep on the movie. It was called The Broken Box. And you know, when people are into God and God is in people, it'll show up. Yeah, oh yeah. Are you talking about enjoy that movie? I enjoyed that Broken Box. It was about a young lady and her father. The mom died and they lost their home and everything. And the young lady, his daughter, learned to pray. She knew how to pray. And so she would pray and she told the Lord what she needed from him and went on. And I believe she led the dad to the Lord. At least she was talking to him about becoming, you know, saved. Well, they ended up living in a motel room, and they had two beds and all of that, but he found a job. God blessed him with a job. The daughter, you know, the prayer of the righteous avail as much. God counted Abraham's faith as righteousness. So her faith in God blessed the dad to get the job. Well, on the job, there was a guy there, and he was a slacker. But when he would see other people who wasn't a slacker, he would set them up with something, you know, to get them fired. So he did it to the dad, put something in the dad's lunchbox. And I forgot what kind of company it was he worked for, but when you go through, they check you before you leave the premises when you're off, you know, getting off work. So what ended up happening is the man set him up and put something in his lunchbox that, you know, belonged to the company. So that the owner of the company, he was so angry that you would take from him. He said, oh, no, I want you to go to jail. You know, in other words, I just call you in here to talk to you about it. But you found guilty because it was in your lunchbox. He said, I didn't do it. Somebody set me up. Well, the boss was so angry, he wasn't hearing that. And he was going to make this dad an example. So once he got arrested and everything, well, he had a felony charge before. He had served time. So, you know, when they look at that, it's like, he did it, he did it. He done did evil before. Oh, yeah, he just a do evil. So there was a caseworker. They got a caseworker for their daughter because she was underage. And they tried to catch her, but they couldn't. She was too smart. And God gave the caseworker favor, gave her favor with the caseworker. And her co-worker was telling her, let it go. She said, she didn't say I can't, but she couldn't. God's hand was in it. And one day, the daughter hid a bag down under the bridge. And I guess she was going out, you know, to try to get food or whatever. And, you know, she didn't want to carry all this stuff. So this man, when she looked, the bag came back. The bag was gone. But when she looked up, she saw a man walking across the bridge with her bag. And she tried to catch him, but he caught a bus and got away. But it was nobody but the angel of the Lord, according to her prayer. And when she got the bag back, she was looking through there. Where's my clothes? Where's my this? And that was something that a mother, like a butterfly, had given her. And the man, you know, he showed up and he wanted that butterfly. And she said, no, my mother gave me that. Where's my clothes? In other words, too, where's my stuff out this bag? So she thought about it for a minute and, you know, she calmed down. She said, you want the butterfly? He said, yeah. She gave him the butterfly. And when she looked on through the bag, it was some stuff in there, like a lamp and some other stuff. But, you know, I guess it was nothing really interesting to her because she had lost her clothes and things. So he pointed to her in the bag, and there was a key. And because I'm assuming that bag had her dad's stuff in there, too. So she took the key and looked at it, and it had a storage on it. She goes to the storage. It opens up. She moves into the storage. And that's all I'm going to tell you. The rest is for you to go look at The Broken Box. Take a look at that movie. I know it will bless you. God worked miracles still, March 11, 2024. God is yet a miracle working God. He's yet on our side today in spite of us. He looked beyond our fault and yet meet our needs. We deserve death, but that's not what he gives us. He gives us grace and mercy. Most of all, he's given us his love, even the good, the bad, and the ugly. Hallelujah. Those who have not come to him fully, they believe, but they haven't fully come into the knowledge of him. He yet abides grace and mercy and love for them. Hallelujah. So we're thankful unto him, and I'm learning today. We don't want to judge others. We don't want to be down on people. We don't want to act as if we're better than everybody else because we believe we know God. That's not the feeling of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is humble, even to our enemies. Look at Jesus. Look at the humiliation he went through. But he did it because it pleased the Father. He did it because this was asked of him. And the same thing with us. So when we see people who are not like us but need God, we don't want to shun them. We don't want to think bad about them. We want to believe God that he'll not only save and sanctify and fill them with his Spirit, but he'll heal every wound that they have. Yeah. That don't mean we have to deal with them every day and all of this. No, it just means we love and we're praying to God for these people that he would heal. Yeah, because he wished that none should perish. I want to talk to you about this morning. Hell is a real place. The scripture says it enlarges itself daily. And I know many couldn't see that. And back in the day, you know, you may have felt like, oh, they couldn't do nothing that bad. Oh, but it is today. Unforgiveness, liars, thieves, murder, all kind of stuff. You just kill somebody to earn a reputation, and you're not going to repent unto God, you're not going to consider God, you're not going to remember, you're not going to think of God, not God that's punishing, it's you and your deeds, what you've done. What you've done speaks for you. What you're doing speaks for you. I believe it, even what you will do will speak for you. It will tell what type of person you was from day one. Yeah, I believe that today. So look, our topic today is scripture searches in the book of Revelations. And the reason why I prayed and I believe God gave this to me, I was talking to a young man and he had put a post up about if you save and commit suicide, would you go to hell? I said yes. And I wrote some other stuff. And then I told him about many false preachers are teaching once saved, always saved. Once I said that to him, I said, because your name can be erased out of the Lamb book of life. It can be removed. He said, well, where is that? I gave him a snippet in Revelation. I had told him, if you can't find it, I will. But I didn't believe that is the way it should have been. I said, no, I'm not going to do it all for you now. Study. You got to go find it. I looked for it right quick, but I wasn't able to find it. So I couldn't give it to him. It's for him to go in the word. Because if you believe in once you go to God and be saved, you're always saved, something is wrong with that picture. He's married to the backslider. And what that means, any time that the backslider is ready to repent, he can come back to the marriage. God will strengthen him or her and bless them and bring them back to the marriage like nothing ever happened. But we must repent. Another thing, we must walk up right before God daily. We can't do it sometime when we're in dire straits, you know, when we're in trouble, when we need something, then we're going to get it right with God. No, we must walk according to his word daily. This is why we pray for understanding, knowledge and wisdom. Because once we get understanding, we get the knowledge, wisdom will teach us what to do with it and how to do it. And we need this. So we looked at once saved, always saved. I want to go to my main scripture, the main scripture that I like. Over in Revelations, and this is Revelations chapter 3 and verse 5. And I remember in the beginning God talked to the churches. Yeah, he began to talk to the churches over there, and he even named the churches. Yeah. But in Revelations chapter 3 and verse 5, this is what it said. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So when I saw, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, that let me know your name can be blotted out. In verse 4 of chapter 3 of Revelation, it says this, thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. That's what 4 says. Verse 4. Verse 5 comes and says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So right there, let me know. Our name can be blotted out. Your name was in there, but he can remove your name. He can take it out of the book. And if your name is not, when the roll is called and your name is not in the book, then you messed up. Hell is because you don't belong to him. He's got a record. Verse 6 says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The church in Philadelphia, Sardis, and it's a bunch of name of churches here, because we are the church too. And we should be looking at what God have to say about us, the church. What is it he would have us to do? Where is it he would have us to go? What purpose am I here, Lord? What should I do, God? And have the patience to wait on him, because he's coming with the answer. Sometimes he'll show it to you. Sometimes you'll just walk into the answer. Oh, he loves us this morning. He loves us. Hallelujah. I want to also look at Revelations chapter 20 and 12. And we're going to get to see some different, quite a few different things. I just want to go through the scriptures and let you hear and let you decide what it is we need to do concerning once saved, always saved. Do we need to repent? Do we need to take self-inventory? Do we need to draw closer to God? Do we need to study his word? Do we need to apply his word to our everyday life and walk according to his word? What is it we need to do to keep our name in the Lamb book of life? All of these things I mentioned, should we do? If we are doing these things, it's simply keep us safe in all areas of our lives. And what they're calling the afterlife, it keeps us safe. But many times we don't want to do this because of our flesh. We want our flesh to reign. Let the flesh rule, because we feel in this. But looking at Revelations chapter 20 and verse 12, it says this, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Do you hear that? Yeah. John was out on the Isle of Patmos. It said, and he was in the spirit on the Lord's day. So he brought this to us. God allowed us to know these things. He said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things, which were written in the books according to their work. So whatever we do, it's recorded. Remember I said we're filming our own movie. We're making our own movie. We're the stars of our own movie. And when we stand before God and he play our movie back, what will he see? I can't lie on nobody because it's my movie. Basically, I wrote it. I produced it. I directed it. I'm the leading star in it. Yeah, I have the leading role. So I can't lie on nobody. Talking about, like Adam, I can't say, well, these people, they made me angry, so I shot them. These people lied on me, so I went and lied on them. Can't do that. Love your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you. People done you wrong. You can't even laugh with them no more. It's over with. They ask you to forgive them. They ask God to forgive them. They changed in their heart. We can't deal with them because we remembering when and what they did to us. When God forgive, he forget it. The world would teach us, and some churches would teach you, you forget, forgive, but don't forget. Well, if you don't forget, you haven't forgiven. You have to forget it and let it go. The only way I use my past with people that did stuff against me as a testimony unto God, what he did in my heart, how he set me free. I've gone through the storm and lots of rain, even with the ex-husband. Had to forgive him and let it go. At one point, the enemy told me, kill him. He ain't worth living. I cannot think like that. I cannot do that. I bind you up and cast you back to the pits of hell with that thought. And Father God rebuke him with the thought for my sake. I lose peace. I lose forgiveness. I lose all that I need to be straight with you, Lord, and to think on positive things. Anybody remember we was taught that we want to think on these things, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. We want to think of whatever is honest, whatever is true. These are things we want to think on and let God restore our soul. Let him restore us. Because a lot of times we've held on to things we didn't even know we was holding on to. We thought it was over with. We thought we had forgiven. No, you ain't forgave. Because you haven't forgotten. And the person that can't joke with you, the person that can't smile with you, they can't say nothing too much. Because just that quick you get offended. Because you're remembering when. You haven't forgotten. And you want them to know, I'm not about it. But somewhere in there, it may just be something that you're trying to hide. 13 says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. 14 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found, listen, written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So there's no once saved, always saved. Don't let these people trick you into thinking that. We have to study the word of God. We have to have a prayer life. We have to obey his word and walk upright before him. We have to love those that appear to be unlovable. We have to love our enemies. We have to forgive people that has done us wrong. And we can't walk around judging everybody else and not judging ourselves. Everybody else is wrong but me. When I do wrong, it's okay. But when anybody else do it, it's not okay. That's not God. That's your flesh. And the enemy will use your flesh. There are only three. Either it's you, it's God, or it's the devil. That's the bottom line. And a lot of times we blame the devil for what we're doing. Yeah. So this is Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12 through 15. Yeah. So we're going a little bit further because I want to get these scriptures in today. I need to mark off what we've read already. And some things we may, you know, just go back over. But this is what we want to pay attention to, what God said in his word and how he expects for his children to behave. Even when you're not present, you expect your children to behave a certain way because you taught them to become a certain way. Even from childhood, you taught them. We were made for his pleasure. When he made us, he already had the plan. He already had a purpose. He already had us in the way, in the set that he wanted us. But then we grew up and we began to gain knowledge of the world and this and that of him, of the churches, of this and that. There is a God. He gave us the right and the freedom to choose this day whom you're going to serve. Some people don't believe, so they say they're atheists. Some people believe there is a God, but they don't want to accept who he is because he don't have a name to them. He don't, it's a she. God don't have no problem with sin. They got all kind of stuff going on, but it's a sad thing. I remember telling those faithful few that come every morning, I'm sure you heard me talk about the young man when I worked at the runaway shelter in Alaska, in Fairbanks. And this young man come, and I told about, he turned 18 in my house. I took him home once he turned 18 and was able to bless him with a job, get him some things he wanted, and he headed back to where he come from, Texas. But even this young man, every now and then, like yesterday, he'll hit me up and say, I love you. Put a purple heart, a blue heart. But this is the thing. That was like 20 years ago. He's well up in his 30s now. You know, he done turned over 30. And it's his choice of as a grown man to do what it is he want to do. What I tried to instill in him, I'm not seeing those traits today. I see some other stuff. I see the world. And I tried to instill God through his son, Jesus Christ. And sometimes we come to him and we say we believe, but then we have our own agenda about things. We believe we can keep us. It's our choice to keep us. We can't keep us. Only he can. The only way you're going to stay on this straight and narrow and obey God daily according to his word, you have to stay in contact with him. You have to commune and fellowship with him. We have to pray more. We have to get in his word more and desire to obey what his word says. We have to turn the world off, turn our flesh off. Let everything become spiritual. When it's time to go back to work and the home and the cooking and the cleaning and the shopping and the this and that, all of that will come back. But it'll come back in a way where we're not overdoing things. We don't give more to the natural and the world than we do to the spirit because we want to remember to do what's right. I want to come back with him to rule and reign. Yet, if he took me straight from the earth like he did Enoch, straight to glory, I wouldn't have a problem with it at all. I really wouldn't. Because I bypassed all this other stuff. But we got to give God what he need. Give him what he want. Give him what he deserves. Love, obedience, praise and worship. Bow down to. In spirit and in truth. This is what he deserves. Hallelujah. He deserves more than we can give him. But he accept the fact that we can only give him so much because we're flesh and blood. Hallelujah. So listen, we're going to one more song of the morning. I just wanted to do a little introduction to the topic of the day. And when we get done with everything, we're coming back and we're going to do some more in Revelations. We're going to look at quite a few scriptures that's over in Revelations. And then we may... I look at John, 1 John chapter 4, And I think that's verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. You see, because some people are giving you what they believe. They're not giving you the truth. They're not giving you the true word of God. And then they want you to remain in the natural. They don't want you to remain above this and become spiritual. Because they can't do it. They couldn't do it. The people that taught them couldn't do it. So they don't think no one can. But when you get serious with God and you put him first, not only you putting him first, he become the God of your life. He become your life. And then your life is hid in him. You're no better than these lies these people telling. You know that your name can be erased out of the Lamb Book of Life. And if your name is not found in there, hell is your home. It's not working, but it's obeying. It's doing what the word said for us to do. He sent his son Jesus to see what it is that was keeping us from obeying him. But he knew that we come from a sinful nature. David talked about it. In sin did my mother conceive me. Yeah. So he sent Jesus. Let me see what is this in man that's keeping him from being right with me. I done destroyed many of them. Look at the day of Noah. Everybody drowned but 8 people. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot and his 2 daughters, even his wife, looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. What is going on? Jesus comes that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And he proved to us in the flesh we can do it if we want to. We can live right if we focus and we want to. If we stay in his word, if we keep a prayer line to him, if we work on the training, I'm working on training myself. Nothing negative. Like on positive things. No judging. Pray for those that are lost. Anybody I think I'm remembering that I have not forgiven, I want to forgive and forget. Because a lot of times dealing with your people in your past that has been your enemies, what happened is they forget. And simply because you forgive and forget, it don't mean you have to deal with these people again. Forgive them and let them go on. Don't keep going back to them. Now, them we have to deal with every day. We got to ask the Spirit of God to lead and guide us in our dealing with them. We can't trust them. We can't hang out with them. We may work with them. It may be a family member in your house. It may be your own child. But we got to pray and ask God to lead and guide us in the right path for his name's sake. Lord, teach me how to deal with them. I love them, but God, I can't trust them. I really don't want to associate with them, but they are here and they're going to be here until whenever. So Lord, I need your help. I need you to help me. Let me be the bigger person. If it's humiliation, strengthen me while I be humiliated. You was humiliated for me. I think the man was named Simon who helped you to carry the cross. A cross that you didn't deserve. Yeah. So listen, we're going to a song of the morning, and then I want to come back with the, play this little prayer, and then we're going to one more song of the morning, and then we'll come back with Put God first, he's going to pray as well. And then we'll come on back with the rest of the scriptures in Revelation.
Lord, may nothing separate me from you today. Teach me how to choose only your way today, so each step will lead me closer to you. Help me walk by the word and not my feelings. Help me to keep my heart pure and undivided. Protect me from my own careless thoughts, words, and actions. And keep me from being distracted by my wants, my desires, my thoughts on how things should be. Help me to embrace what comes my way as an opportunity rather than a personal inconvenience. And finally, help me to rest in the truth of Psalm 86:13. Great is your love toward me. You already see the ways I will fall short and mess up. But right now, I consciously tuck your whisper of absolute love for me into the deepest part of my heart. I recognize your love for me is not based on my performance. You love me, warts and all. That's amazing. But what's most amazing is that the Savior of the world would desire a few minutes with me this morning. Lord, help me to forever remember what a gift it is to sit with you like this. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Ooh, yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Here we go, y'all. Take a little message out to those of y'all who feel like you're struggling.
It's a simple song. Yeah. La da 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 la da da. Oh yeah. Yesterday, a man said to me, said, how can you smile when your world is crumbling down? I said, in my secret. When I wanna cry, I take a look around and I see that I'm getting by. Yeah.
Did you know that whether you are fully aware or not, you have placed something first in your life? Have you ever stopped to consider what occupies that prime spot in your heart and whether or not it truly deserves that honor? Today, I want to urge you to put God first in your life. Let us delve into God's Word to truly understand the profound impact of making Him the center of our lives. I am also going to pray a powerful prayer with you in the mighty name of Jesus. So watch until the end and open your hearts to receive the blessings of this prayer. Now consider this. Every decision, every action, and every thought reflects what we value most. The choices we make daily are a mirror to our soul's deepest desires and priorities. But you know what? We should always ensure that we put God first in all that we do. When we truly place Him at the forefront of our lives, we experience a transformation so profound that our lives will never be the same. Today, I want to share with you 9 essential truths to keep in mind as we seek to ensure that we've put God first in our lives. As we discuss these 9 truths, I pray that each one will resonate deeply within you, guiding your path closer to God's heart. Remember, a life centered around God is not just rewarding. It's the very essence of true fulfillment in your life. Number 1, understand the ultimate priority. Listen to the words of Jesus in Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This isn't a mere statement. It's a profound truth. Every day, life presents us with an array of choices. It's like being at a grand buffet with so many dishes to pick from. What do you prioritize? The world offers temporary pleasures, wealth, fame, luxury, and all the material stuff you can think of. But what does God offer? God offers Himself, which covers everything. When we prioritize God, we aren't merely adding Him to our list. We are placing Him at the top. By aligning ourselves with God's purpose, our entire perspective shifts. Life's challenges, rather than appearing as insurmountable obstacles, become lessons. They evolve into opportunities for growth and self-discovery. And you know what's interesting? When we place God first, everything else falls into place. It's like that void we once had. It's filled, that deep emptiness within us. Like there's something missing, it's gone. Because when we place God first, we begin to find fulfillment in His love and purpose. It's one thing for me to tell you, but my friends, experiencing it for yourself is another thing. It's life-changing in a tangible way. Once you place God first and feel that fulfillment personally, no one can sway your conviction, just like no one can persuade me otherwise, because I've felt and seen the power of God at work in my own life and in the lives of others. And that's what makes the Daily Jesus devotional community so unique on this platform. We aren't here for superficial reasons. We are deeply committed to spreading the gospel and transforming lives because we've witnessed God's power firsthand. Our team members have all walked that path, and we invite you daily to join us on this life-changing journey towards a deeper connection with God and to live a victorious life. And here's something else to think about. Remember the story of Noah and the ark? God told Noah to build an enormous boat because a flood was coming. People laughed and thought Noah was silly, but Noah listened to God, put Him first, and built the ark. When the flood came, Noah and his family were safe. Just like Noah, when we listen to God and put Him first, we're protected and guided. Even when things get tough or confusing, having God as our top priority helps us stay strong, hopeful, and filled with peace. So, let's be like Noah and keep choosing God and putting Him first. With God leading the way, our lives are always on the right track. Number two, there is the gravity of idolatry. As the book of Exodus warns us in chapter 20, verse 3, "You shall have no other gods before me." On the surface, this may sound straightforward. Most of us might say, "I don't worship idols, so this doesn't apply to me." But let's dig deeper. Idolatry isn't just about bowing to statues. It's about what occupies the throne of our heart. Is it money? Career? Relationships? Social status? Oftentimes, without even realizing it, these things take God's place in our lives. Every time we prioritize our desires, our fears, or the world's approval over God's voice, we place something else in His rightful position. Sometimes it may be unintentional, but that still doesn't change the reality. It's therefore essential to regularly examine our hearts and realign our priorities. By recognizing and dethroning these idols in our lives, we clear a path for God to take His rightful place. Let's think about the story of Jonah for a moment. Most of us are familiar with this story. Jonah tried to run from God's command, prioritizing his own feelings and fears over God's guidance. He ended up in the belly of a big fish. Yet, in that dark place, Jonah found clarity. He prayed and turned his heart back to God, and God, in His endless mercy, gave Jonah another chance. Just like Jonah, we too can find ourselves in tricky situations when we let other things take the place of God in our lives. But the beautiful thing is that God always gives us a way back. If we take a moment, refocus, and push aside the idols that have crept into our lives, we can begin to experience the joy and peace that comes from truly putting God first. Our God is faithful and full of mercy. After all, as Psalm 37 verse 4 reminds us, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." This Bible verse offers us a promise worth holding on to. Number three, know about the transformative power of divine guidance. Proverbs beautifully echoes this in chapter 3, verses 5 to 6. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." This isn't mere advice. It's a life principle. In our journey through life, we often come across crossroads, moments of uncertainty, and periods of darkness. We all do. It's in these moments that our human understanding feels woefully inadequate. But there's a promise awaiting us. We are promised of God's divine guidance. When we fully trust in God and acknowledge Him, He doesn't just enlighten our path. He leads us by the hand. This guidance isn't about merely avoiding pitfalls. It's about being directed towards a life of abundance and purpose. It's about embracing a journey where every turn, every twist, and every pause has divine intent behind it. Reflecting on the story of David and Goliath offers profound insight into divine guidance. As a young shepherd boy, David faced the towering giant, Goliath. By human understanding, David had no chance. He was not a trained soldier, and he did not have the size or strength of Goliath. But David wasn't relying on his own understanding. He trusted in the Lord. In the book of 1 Samuel 17, verse 45, "With a simple sling and five smooth stones, he confronted the giant, saying, 'You come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts.'" With God's guidance, David defeated Goliath and demonstrated that divine guidance and trust in the Lord could overcome even the most insurmountable challenges. This story encourages us to remember that when we trust in God's guidance, when we put God first, we can face our giants, no matter how big they seem. God is always ready to guide us, making our paths straight and leading us to victory. Number 4, reordering our priorities is crucial. In Luke 10, verses 41 to 42, we find a lesson on priorities. When Jesus told Martha, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." He was pointing out the essence of priorities. Life is bustling, filled with tasks, responsibilities, and distractions. In the midst of this, it's easy to forget the most crucial aspect, our spiritual well-being. The dishes will always be there. The laundry will pile up again, and the emails will keep coming. But the moments that we spend at the feet of Jesus, those are irreplaceable. It's a lesson for all of us. While we shouldn't neglect our chores and responsibilities, it's vital to ensure they don't overshadow our relationship with God. By regularly reordering our priorities, we ensure a balanced, fulfilling life, where both spiritual and worldly responsibilities are harmoniously balanced. Taking a leaf from the book of Psalms, we are reminded in Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." In our fast-paced world, stillness is often overlooked, yet it's in these quiet moments that we can genuinely connect with God and hear his voice. Think of the story of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19. After witnessing powerful events like fire and earthquake, God's voice came to him, not in the grand spectacles, but in a gentle whisper. This emphasizes the importance of quiet moments, away from the clatter and clamor of daily life. By making time for God in our busy schedules, by being still and listening, we give him the space to speak to our hearts and guide us. This doesn't mean quitting our jobs or abandoning our chores. It means setting aside purposeful moments each day, even if it's just a few minutes, to sit in his presence. And as we do, our priorities naturally find their rightful order, with God at the center. Number 5, the joy of a God-centered life. Psalm 16, verse 11 states, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." How beautiful is that promise? The world offers pleasures. Yes, but they are temporary. They are like bursts of flavor that quickly fade away. God's joy, on the other hand, is eternal. It sustains, strengthens, and renews. A God-centered life is similar to dwelling in a perpetual spring. Even in the midst of challenges, there's an underlying current of joy. This joy isn't rooted in circumstances, but in a deep-seated relationship with the Creator. With God at the center, life becomes an exciting journey, filled with wonder, adventure, and profound joy. Reflecting on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, we see him proclaiming in Matthew 5, verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." This purity of heart translates to a life free from the entanglements of worldly distractions and temptations. A heart devoted solely to God. Such a heart sees God, not just in grand miracles, but in everyday moments. The smile of a child, the beauty of a sunset, or the kindness of a stranger. A God-centered life brings clarity, like the clear waters of a still pond. Everything becomes a reflection of God's love and goodness. Every experience, good or bad, is an opportunity to draw closer to him. And in this closeness, in this intimacy with the divine, we find the deepest and most enduring joy. It's a joy that goes beyond mere happiness. It's a joy that resonates in the depths of one's soul, regardless of what's happening around us. Number 6, be confident about God's provision and promise. The promise in Philippians 4, verse 19 is a beacon of hope. "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." When we prioritize God, it doesn't mean forsaking our needs, desires, or dreams. Rather, it's entrusting them to someone who knows us better than we know ourselves. God's provision isn't about just fulfilling our needs. It's about exceeding them. It's not about giving us what we want, but what we truly need. Imagine a loving father looking at his child. He doesn't just provide for the child's basic needs, but delights in giving gifts, surprises, and blessings. That's how God views us. By placing him first, we tap into an infinite reservoir of blessings that flow from his throne. Number 7. Know the outcome of a divided heart. James 1 verses 6 to 8 cautions. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Duality is a challenge. Trying to balance between God and the world creates instability, like trying to stand on two boats, drifting in opposite directions. By serving two masters, we become spiritually lukewarm, neither here nor there. But by giving God our undivided heart, we find solidity, stability, and purpose. Our choices become clear, our path becomes defined, and our destiny becomes aligned with his perfect will. Number 8. Understand life's true purpose. Have you ever grappled with the whole thought of why you are here? Ecclesiastes 12 verse 13 sums up the essence of our existence, and it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Amidst the noise of the world, it's easy to lose sight of our true purpose. Are we here just to live, earn, spend, and then fade away? Or is there a higher purpose to our lives, a divine calling? By honoring God and following his commandments, we align ourselves with this higher purpose. Life, then, isn't just about living. It's about thriving. It's about making a difference, touching lives, and leaving a legacy of faith, hope, and love. Embracing this truth brings clarity to our journey in life and adds meaning to every step we take. So remember, we are here to fear God and keep his commandments. And to do this, we have to put God first. Number 9. Know about the unmatched reward. Jesus made a profound promise in Mark 10 verses 29 to 30. And Jesus answered and said, "Verily, I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." So this isn't a transactional relationship. It's a covenant. When we prioritize God, the rewards aren't just spiritual. They manifest in our everyday lives. We will notice that blessings, favor, open doors, and divine connections become a part of our daily experiences. Above all, the promise of eternal life awaits us. It's an eternity, not just of existence, but of joy, love, and unparalleled communion with God. And does this mean that we won't ever face opposition, discrimination, or persecution because of our faith? No, it doesn't mean that either. Jesus consistently taught that following him might lead to suffering, and this scripture also underscores that message. However, amidst these challenges, when we put God first, we are also assured of victory through Christ, who strengthens and uplifts us in every trial. In other words, the enemy won't have the final say. God does. Let us look again at the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15. After squandering his inheritance and living a life away from his father, The son decides to return home, expecting rebuke. He is instead met with an overwhelming embrace and celebration from his father. This story illustrates God's grace and the unmatched reward awaiting those who return to him. Just like the father who throws a grand celebration for his returned son, God celebrates each of us. The reward is not based on our worthiness, but on his boundless love. Know that every sacrifice made, every challenge faced in the name of faith, is recognized and rewarded by God. And beyond the material and tangible, there lies the profound peace and joy of knowing we are cherished and valued. The rewards God offers aren't just for a moment. They echo into eternity, shaping our existence beyond this life. Now, in Revelation 3, verse 20, God extends an open invitation, saying, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." This isn't about a distant God up in the heavens. It's about a loving Father at our doorstep, waiting to be invited in. It's up to us to make that choice, to open our hearts and let him reign supreme in our lives. Consider this. The beauty of the gospel lies in its power to transform. When we embrace these truths and place God at the pinnacle of our priorities, our lives experience a profound transformation. So if you believe that you have placed God first in your life and there is no positive transformation, you need to do some introspection and ask for God's guidance. And always remember to be patient and trust God's timing. By making God our utmost priority, we move from merely going through the motions to living with purpose and intent. And those challenges we encounter, they evolve into opportunities for growth. As for the blessings, expect them to manifest as daily miracles in your life. The promise is clear. Put God first in your life, and your life will undoubtedly never be the same. Now, to all those within the sound of my voice, let us go to the Lord in prayer. I want you to pray this prayer with me, so that you can have all the blessings of this prayer. Let us pray to our gracious and loving God. Everlasting Father, Almighty God, you are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the creator of heaven and earth. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Lord, I am grateful for your faithful promises, your amazing grace, your everlasting love, and your mercies that endures forevermore. Lord, I thank you for the gift of life, and I thank you for the many blessings you have given to me. Father, I humbly approach your throne of grace, acknowledging my sins, my mistakes, and my shortcomings. Forgive me of my trespasses, as I also forgive all those who have trespassed against me. Lord, forgive me for the times I've placed other things above you. For moments, I've let the pleasures of this world distract me from your eternal promises. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare that every chain of idolatry and distraction in my life is broken, and I rebuke every spirit of confusion and worldly temptation that tries to pull me away from your presence. By the authority of the blood of Jesus, I claim emotional, physical, and spiritual healing over every part of my being. I declare, in the name of Jesus, that the same power that resurrected Christ from the dead flows through my veins, revitalizing and renewing my spirit, mind, and body. Merciful Father, I pray for divine protection over my life and the life of my loved ones. Lord, I ask that you command your mighty angels to stand guard around us, shielding us from all harm or evil. Father, you are our provider, and I ask for your abundant blessings to overflow in our lives. May you guide our paths and draw us closer to you. Lord, help us to prioritize you above all things and experience the fullness of joy that only you can give. Father, as I say this prayer, together with everyone listening, I thank you for each heart that is humbled before you right now. For those who are feeling lost, may you be their saving grace and guiding light. For those who are burdened, may your Holy Spirit be their comforter and grant them peace. For those struggling with their priorities, may you grant them the conviction to put you first and the discernment to choose what truly matters. And for those in need of your touch, may you bring them healing, vitality, and restoration. Heavenly Father, we come into agreement as a faith-filled community, and we thank you for the rewards and benefits you have promised us. In your word, we ask for the strength and wisdom to always seek your kingdom first, to reorder our priorities, and to embrace the joy and transformation that comes from your divine guidance. Lord, I thank you for hearing and answering my prayer. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray, amen. If you were blessed by this message, type the word amen in the comment section below. I declare that all the blessings of this prayer are now upon you in the name of Jesus. You can help us to reach more persons and spread the gospel. You can do this by sharing the video with a friend or family member who you know needs the blessing of this prayer and by clicking the like button. Also remember to subscribe to the channel for more videos that will bless your heart and uplift your spirit. We appreciate all those who support us. You're blessed to be a blessing. If you have received this prayer and you feel convicted in your heart to take an extra leap of faith, I invite you to say this prayer that you've just prayed for the next 7 consecutive days, right here on our channel. By praying for the next 7 days, you'll amplify your faith and your connection with God. Reinforce God's promises in your heart and ignite divine breakthroughs in your life. On this note, we're delighted to share that many of those who are a part of our Daily Jesus devotional community have been coming forward with some truly touching and inspiring testimonies. Many have experienced God's abundant blessings, breakthroughs, and favor after taking part in our previous 7-day faith-filled challenges. People's lives are changing, and we humbly give God thanks, and we give Him all the glory. And so, we've been encouraged to facilitate even more of these faith-filled challenges. We warmly invite you to visit our channel and commit to saying this prayer that you've prayed today for the next 7 consecutive days and watch God work in your life. These are anointed prayers of faith, and so we ask that you open your hearts and expect to see God's mighty hand work wonders in your life. And as you experience His blessings, we would like to hear from you. So don't forget to share your testimonies with us, and we know they will be many. Let your testimony be a beacon of hope and encouragement for others. Our God is faithful, and we will continue to trust Him. Please feel free to leave your prayer request in the comments section so that we can present them before God for your blessings and victory. Also, we invite other believers on the YouTube platform and all over the world to join us and start praying for you right now. And we want you to know that even if you don't see a reply to your prayer request, it doesn't mean that you are not prayed for. Rest assured that we are actively lifting up each request to God that is in accordance with His will. We believe in the power of prayer to bring comfort, healing, and guidance in accordance with God's perfect plan. Stand in faith with us while we pray. To God be all the glory. May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
yes I am. Loneliness, I've had my share of loneliness, but I'm still here. Listen.
Through it all, I made it through another day.
Can anybody relate to that tonight? I made it, yeah.
I made it,
made it through
another day's journey. God kept me here.
I know somebody can relate to what I'm about to say now. Lied on, many times I've been lied on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm still here. Thank you, Lord. Burden. I had to bear so many burdens, but I'm still here, yeah. Ooh, oh, oh, oh. Dark days, I had my share of dark days, but I'm still here, yes I am. Disappointment, I've had so many disappointments, but I'm still here, yeah. Through it all,
I made it through another day's journey.
Woo.
God kept me here.
I don't know how you feel about it tonight, but I thank God that I'm still here.
I made it.
Woo.
God kept me here.
Let me tell you what it was, y'all. Listen.
Yeah.
It's by the grace of God that I'm still here today. He was always there, no matter what came my way. A very present help in my time of need, standing right there, just to see about me. Oh,
I made it,
y'all.
Another day's journey.
One more day, y'all.
The
Lord kept his arms around me. It hasn't been easy, no.
I made it.
And I just want y'all to know this tonight.
I made it.
Man.
Yes, I made it.
I'm still here. And a lot of folks said that I wouldn't be here tonight, but I made it. By the grace of God, y'all.
Yes, I made
it. I'm still here. Yes, I am. I had to lay awake in the midnight hour sometimes, tossing and turning.
Anybody
ever had to lay awake all night long sometimes?
I'm still here.
Tears in your eyes, wondering what the next day was going to bring. But God kept it all around you. Yes, he did.
Yes,
you made it through your trials. You're still here tonight. Come on and let me see those hands there tonight.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, the William brothers, still here. I made it through another day's journey. God kept me here. Yeah, he's keeping us for a reason. He's allowing us another chance to get it right with him daily. Every day that we're alive, we got another chance to draw nearer unto him. And we got to put God first. And if you want to go to that website, our channel on YouTube, it's Put God First, and I think it's by Daily Jesus or Jesus Daily. I have to take another look. But go over there and let's listen to the prayer for 7 days. I was blessed, truly blessed by that prayer. And so I'm grateful unto Almighty God. Talking about and searching the scriptures and revelations, we will suffer when we receive Jesus. So many times people turn back to the old things because when they come to God, things got rough and we're going to suffer, but let's make sure we're suffering for his sake, not for our own. Yeah, I don't want to suffer because of Barbara. I want to suffer because of Jesus. Because must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone that come to him, and I know there's a cross for me. If I suffer with him, I'll reign with him. But no cross, no crown, no suffering, you can't be in there. You got to be willing to go through. When I first come to him, friends walked away. I was no longer that old Barbara, because the scripture says if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things become new. So I wasn't doing the same things, and they were doing the same things, and anybody who wasn't doing the same things, they didn't have nothing for them, because how can two walk together except they agree? Light shine in darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. So I had been blessed to comprehend that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believe on him won't perish but have everlasting life. I had come into the knowledge of knowing that now I can be the light that sit on the hill. I can be the candle that sit on the hill. I could become the salt of the earth. Continue so that the salt don't lose its savor or flavor. What I have to do is stay in tune with God. Yeah. I got to study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Yeah. He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 3:5. Ecclesiastes 12:12 says, and further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Yeah. Many times even not the study of the word, but even just if you're in school and you're studying, it becomes a weariness of the flesh. Who want to study? Most people want to do what they want to do, whatever is entertaining, whatever is pleasing. And now you're studying, that take from that. But if we want to see Jesus, we got to do what he asked us to do. Yeah. And we got to remember 3 and 5, Revelation 3:5. We have to remember these things. But we looked at Revelation 20:12. And we saw that he said, I saw the dead small and great stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their work. 13 said, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they would judge every man according to their work. 14 said, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. 15 says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Yeah. Now, this is the word of God. It's not the word of Barbara. Because many people, she's busy trying to get herself together and stay with him. She's busy doing what he said do. Yeah. I wasn't there when God inspired man to write it, but I know that it is true. when I look at Revelations chapter 2 and verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. We must repent unto God. Yeah, we must get it right. And he was talking to the church of Ephesus. Yeah, in verse 1 it says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Verse 2 says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Verse 3 says, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. Yeah. 4 says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. And it go on back to tell us to remember, therefore, from whence thou fallen, and repent. Wherever we fail from God, we need to repent. Because many times, there are many who come to him, but because of the trials, because of the suffering, they turn away. Yeah, they no longer want to be a part, because it appear I was doing better before I came. Things wasn't so rough. You know, I was in a familiar place. I knew how to deal with this. Yeah, so they go back. Verse 21 and 27 says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb book of life. Yeah. We want our name to remain in the book, in the Lamb's book of life. We want our name to stay there. Yeah, we don't want nobody moving nothing. I don't want to remove my own name. Yeah. But God left these examples for us and these lessons for us so that we can come up in him and not be concerned about the world or our flesh. Because Apostle Paul said he was going to show us a mystery, that we all would be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Yeah. We're going to put off this body and put on that new. But we got to get there. Yeah. We got to seek God with our whole heart. We got to watch as well as pray. We got to think positive thoughts. We got to stand. And after standing, we have to stand some more. Because we're standing on the sure foundation. We're standing on the word of God. If we look at Revelations chapter 13 and verse 18, it says, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 66. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 66. Go take a look. It'll teach you about the dragon. It'll teach you about the sword. It'll teach you about all of these things. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Yeah. That is Revelation 13 and verse 8. We go on a little bit further, and we want to take a look at Revelations chapter 22 and verse 19. We're looking for 22 and 19. And this is what that one says. And if any man should take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testified these things saith, shall I come quickly? Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That is Revelation chapter 22, verses 19 through 21. So we want to look at these scriptures. We want to pray and ask God to give us understanding, give us knowledge and wisdom, teach us how to live this which is written, your written truth. We are asking God to help us. When I look back at Revelations chapter 1, we're going back to Revelations chapter 1, 1:1. Revelations chapter 1 and verse 1 says this, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Verse 4 of Revelation chapter 1 says, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him, which is, which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Verse 8 of chapter 1 of Revelation says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Verse 9 says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Listen, it's important that we go to this book, the book of Revelations. It's important that we understand what has taken place, what's taking place, and what will take place. But now is that time. Now is that time to gird up the loins of our minds. Some of us, we could have been had a lot of work done, but we waited until our old age. We came to God when really we couldn't do too much more but come to him. Because all our youth, we did what we was big enough to do. All our younger days, we gave it to the world. We gave it to our flesh. And we say we believe. We honor God with our lips, but our heart was far from it. Yeah. The scripture says there's a way to seem right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. So we learned in our older years, let me go to God and let me stay with him. But today we have a lot of false witnesses, a lot of false prophets, a lot of false preachers, and they're teaching people things that are not true. God is not to be played with. God is not to be taken lightly. He's not to be, he's forgiving, he's merciful, he's gracious. It's not just that. He's He's coming back as the great judge. And when he come back as the great judge, he's not coming back to have no grace and mercy. He's already gave us plenty of time to have all of that and to get it right with him. He's coming back looking for his church without spot or wrinkle. And today, if we got spots and wrinkles in us, we need to go to God so that either he can remove them or he teach us how to remove them. He's looking for pure. He's looking for blameless. He's looking for blemishless. When he talked about giving him a sacrifice of an animal, he always talked about bring me one without blemishes. Bring me one that's not crippled. Bring me one that's not unruly. Bring me one that's healthy. And that's the way he wants us today to be as his people. He wants us to be spiritually healthy. Well, how do I become that way, Barbara? Through prayer and the studying of his word. And applying his word to my everyday life. Because if we don't apply the word, it does us no good. It's no good. When we look at James chapter 1, he talks about being a hearer and a doer. But some of us know. But we can't just know the word. It won't do us any good. Knowing it, we got to apply it. We got to do what the word says do. If ever there's been a time to cut your flesh short and to cut the world out, now is that time. We're going to look different. We're going to act different. They're going to treat us different. So what? Because you evil, and I don't want to be a part of your evilness. I don't want to be partaker. And because we humble and because we loving and kind, most times they think they can use us. But you can't use me. I belong to God. Anything I have, God gave it to me, and I gave it back to him. He gave me many gifts. I gave them back to him to use through me. He gave me the gift of love, the gift of giving. And let me tell you about that gift of giving. There's not another gift like it because he loves a cheerful giver. So if he gave you the gift of giving and you can give to others, is truly a blessing unto you. The songwriter said, God bless the child that has his own. So God gave you your own gifts. Some people have the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, the gift of understanding, many different gifts. I know many people chase behind that gift of prophecy because they want to hear what God is saying about them. But if you get in them books, them 66 books, you'll know for yourself. You don't have to run behind the prophet. You don't have to get in the $100 line. You don't have to plant a seed of $1,000. You wanted to have some stuff done to your car. That $1,000 can repair your car because you in the free word of God, the real truth. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'm grateful unto him this morning for all he has done for me. Great and mighty things. Sometimes we think the great things of God, we take it, you know, well, all right, Lord, I thank you. Because we don't think it's such a big deal. But when you know beyond a shadow of a doubt for yourself, God did this for you, it would not have been done unless he had done it for you. You are thankful unto the Lord. When you realize where God has brought you from, you are grateful unto him. When I look back at my life, Lord, have mercy. When I look back at the sinner, Barbara, when I look back at doing what I was big enough to do and what I wanted to do, God called me out of darkness into this marvelous light. Do you know what a wonderful thing that was? Do you know what a great blessing that was? Great and mighty, that God loved me enough to bring me out of the foolishness. It took a well-made up mind to come to him and stay. Yeah, because many times we come to him, but we don't stay. We got to stay in his presence. We got to stay with him. We got to just say no to our flesh, because this flesh will have you doing some crazy stuff. This flesh will have you using people and telling yourself it's the right thing to do. This flesh will have you dependent on people and not God, because you haven't stayed with God. You don't really know how to trust, but you know how to trust people. But how many believe people will fail you because God said, put no trust in man? All our trust must be in him. So when I look at 1 John chapter 4, start at that first verse, this is what John is teaching. This is what God inspired John to write for me and you today. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Now, you have many that will talk about that, say that, and all of, but they don't believe that. And what they're doing is they are trying to get you to believe that they believe and that they're talking about what they're talking about. Because guess what? If I can get you to believe that I believe what you believe as far as Jesus, I can get more money out your pocket. I can have more of what they call members. So we have to come to God for ourselves. You got a good pastor. It's wonderful. But I want to know for myself. I want to know for me. Verse 3 says, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. It's already here, been here. Antichrist, that means you're against Christ. You're against the Savior of the world. And you're talking all kind of nonsense about what you want to talk about. You're not talking about what he want to talk about. You're not talking about what he testified of in Revelations. And many people, they try to scare the people with revelations because they think they're scaring them into God. But no need for me to scare you. It's a need for me to teach you. It's a need for me to send you over there to learn for yourself what he said. And back to this, it's going to be tribulations for you. It's going to be great trials for you when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Number one, now the evil hates you. The devil hates you now. Because you done turned. You're no longer lying. You're no longer cheating and stealing. You're no longer committing adultery. You're no longer committing fornication. You've made a choice, Lord, I'm going to marry this man. He asked me to marry, and that's what I'm going to do. Because marriage is honorable in your sight. Lord, I'm no longer going to keep this foolishness going. And I'm telling this woman, I'm the man of God, but God, I got this woman cheating against you. I'm going to marry this woman. I asked her, she said, yeah, I'm going to marry her and do what's right by this woman. I'm going to love her like you loved the church and died for it. I'm going to love her or him like I love myself. And I'm going to stay in your word throughout this entire marriage until death do us apart. I'm going to stay in prayer throughout this entire marriage and keep my eye on you so I don't put it on another man or put it on another woman. We got some coming up to do, and we think we got time, and we just keep, well, tomorrow, well, next, well, keep on. When we know anything, he's parting the sky, and it's too late for us to make the right choice because he's given us ample time, but we refuse. Because we keep putting it off another day. We keep putting it off to another time. We got to repent. Because we'll honor God with our lips, but truly our heart is far from it. We're not living unto him. We're yet living unto our flesh, and it must change. The flesh and the spirit is at war against each other. And whoever you yield the most to, that's your God. If it's your flesh, that's your God. If it's the world, that's your God. Now, if it's Jesus Christ, then that's Jehovah, the true and living God that have all power. There's no higher power. Verse 4 of 1 John chapter 4, it says this, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But you have to take your time and focus and know that you received God and he did just what he said he would do. He's in you. You got to take your time and remember and let the Spirit rule and reign. Focus and let the Spirit of God be your guide. I never wanted to be homeless. I'm a woman. I could have lived with a man. But because his word, I became homeless. Served him when I was homeless. Talked of his wondrous works and many of a word, huh? Made known his deeds among the people. And I was homeless for a minute. Yeah, I was homeless for a while. And God took it up. He saw what I would do on the job being homeless. He made a way where I didn't know it was a way. He opened a door that I didn't even know a door was there. Stayed in my car many nights. Went to somebody's house and took a shower. And got dressed. Ate out a bag. Because he blessed me to have some food, but it wasn't home-cooked meals. And guess what? I went on, honey, and enjoyed every minute of it. Why? I know God. This too shall pass. This too is a trial. And if I endure this trial to the end, I'm reaping the harvest because I'm not trying to faint. Verse 5 says, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. See, I was taught that in the church from a pastor. Once saved, always saved. But guess what? Huh? I knew it wasn't true. He can erase your name out that Lamb Book of Life. I knew this. But we got to study for ourselves and stop depending on man. Verse 7 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And many times people will get angry with you because of your love for them to tell them the truth. They don't like that. Tell me that. I done told you what I'm doing. I done told you I'm praying about. Now, you, look here. Some things God is not going to do. Some things we got to turn loose. Some things we got to let it go. God is not going to take it because he gave us the ability to turn it loose, me included. Me included. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifest the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Are we living through Jesus Christ today? Or are we all struggling to get there? We all should be struggling for perfection in him. Because he's already perfected in us. But we must learn to be perfected in him. He's the perfect God. He's the perfect Son. So we got to seek him while he can be found. Night is coming. And when night comes, no man can see. Yesterday is gone. Bye-bye. It's not coming back. Tomorrow is not promised. Tomorrow has not gotten here, and we're not promised that we'll see tomorrow. But he gave us today to get it right with him. He said, the day you hear my word, harden not your heart. I feel like a little running right there. We got to seek him with our whole heart. Stop giving in so easily to the flesh. There are many days when I have to get quiet because I refuse to give in to the flesh. And we're going to go through some things in this life. The world won't like us. Somebody love. Oh, no, they're not going to like us. He said they didn't like him. He said they dogged him out. He said they wouldn't repent unto him. They wouldn't come to him. They wouldn't believe him. And the same thing for us, but we got to keep going in him. He gave us the great commission to go into the world and teach and preach the gospel. You may not be a preacher, but you can talk of his wondrous works and make known his deeds among the people through your testimonies of what God has done through you, in you, for you. But we sit back on all of that like we important. We too important to give a testimony because somebody going to know my business. You don't have none. God brought you out of that. If not, you'd have still been in that or worse. But we don't want to tell nothing about what he did for me. I tell it all. All that I can tell that he brought me through, that he brought me out of. My days in prison. Yeah. Did me 19 good months over there at Florida Correctional Institution in lower at Florida, right there before you get to Ocala. Yeah, did me some time right there. And he showed up in there and showed out. And I was nowhere near where I am now. But see, he had an appointed date for me to come fully to him. And it wasn't that time yet. So I was yet living my testimony. Yeah, I left the people prison and went on and sold me some dope, some drugs. Yeah. He come and cut all that off. Didn't allow me to go back to prison for it or anything. He straightened me out and he let me know, you're killing my people. Why? You know better. Repent. And that's what I did. And afterwards he said, now I'm going to make your life better than it has ever been, but don't you go back. Because if you go back, that body should surely lay down and never get up again. I thought he was talking about some kind of paralyzer. No, he was talking about the physical death. And I'd have ended up in hell. Do y'all hear what I'm telling you this morning? God is good to us. He's faithful. He knows the very intent of our hearts. He see where we've been. He see where we're going. And if we let him lead us all the way, guess what? We'll be blessed. When I look back at them testimonies, I'm so thankful I went through and I tell him, thank you. Lord, I thank you. Had I not gone through those things, I wouldn't know these things. So he brought me from a mighty long way. Blessed me with discernment in many areas. I'm grateful unto him. What other people go through, I don't have to go through it. I serve a risen Savior. I'm the child of Almighty God that have all power, Jehovah. Hallelujah. I'm joint heirs today. Hallelujah. With his son, Jesus Christ. Joint heirs. I'm related to him through his blood because his blood washed me clean. Hallelujah. I feel all right there this morning. So simply because you're going to go through some trials, don't give up. Don't lose your salvation over foolishness. And don't believe the hype, once saved, always saved. You read in 3 and 5 this morning, if your name is not in that book, guess what? You're not his. And this is what he said about disobedience. It says witchcraft. If you're disobedient to the word of God, guess what? You're not his. You're his if you obey him today. Pray and ask God to teach you how to apply his word to your everyday life. Stop depending on your pastor. Stop depending on these jackleg preachers. Stop depending on these prophets who come in for money because they want to live like the world. They want to live big. What I got, God gave it to me. And he didn't give me too much. Do I would have lost my mind. He gave me just enough. Ooh, to stay encouraged. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I can share the goodness of him with others because I'm not so high-minded. I'm not on the level of intellect. I'm on the level of reality. And he knows when and where and what I need when I need it. If I need to talk to the president on an intellectual level, he'll come in, the Spirit of God. I remember him telling, hey, when y'all stand before the courts, don't say a word. Don't even think of what you want to say. Because at the right time, he going to give you what you need to say. Ooh, look at here today. But we don't trust him like that. We don't believe him like that. We believe we got to make a way. We got to put it together. We got to say it like this. We got to do it like that. And the end be destruction. We done did all of that and went through all of that. And got to see where it wasn't about nothing because it didn't amount to nothing. In the end, we still got to go all the way to him and let him do it all. With all of that, I thank God for saving me. Thank him for sanctifying me. I thank him for filling me with the Holy Ghost. Oh, yeah. I thank him for giving me what he gave the apostles on the day of Pentecost. When they was in one place at one time and on one accord. That promise that God promised was coming, it came. Jesus left to go prepare a place for us. That where he is, we may be also one day. But while he was gone, the promise came. He told him, God, he had to go, but God was going to send back a comforter.
Hey, thank you. Thank you today. That comforter would keep us if we want to be kept. But we got to want to be kept by God.
It'll keep us from lying. It'll keep us from stealing. It'll keep us from cheating. It'll keep us from whoremongering. Whatever we're doing that's out of the will of God, that spirit will keep you from doing it. If we stay focused, if we pay attention, and if we have the heart to obey. I've heard many say, I don't care. Woo! But when you get in hell, you will care, but it will be too late. You can't change it. You can't come out. We've heard testimonies of folks going to hell, God showing them. Many died from a gunshot wound. They were out there doing the wrong thing. The boy was stabbed 13 times all in the head. God showed him and brought him back. Listen, I know many come out to mom and dad's house straight into the church. And they ain't never been through nothing. But God used those sinners. He used sinners. He used street folks. Some people won't tell you they from the streets. Because they don't think you'll like them enough to listen. But I tell you the truth. God used sinners that done been out there and done all kind of things. Because that's what they was when they was out there. Now, once you come to Christ, you're no longer that. You're the son or daughter of God. But until then, you was a sinner. And God used these people to come in and share testimonies that he has done for them and through them so that we'll hear and we'll go to God and decide to obey his word. But many times, no matter what we hear, we still won't get it right. We still walking in our flesh. We still thinking fleshly. We still giving to the world. I've gotten a lot of, hey, Barbaras, from being real. Just down to earth, plain and simple. Sister Irene tell me, because sometimes she want to FaceTime. She said, whoa, you just come just like you are. Yeah, because she combs her hair and all. I don't do all of that. Yeah, I am at the house and we talking, that's what you see. And when I go out the door, hey, sometimes I put a hat on, wash my face and go on. But the world, they into a different situation. And you can treat me as bad as you want to because I'm not dressed the way you can accept me. That's on you. But one thing about it, touch not mine anointed now. Do my prophet no harm. I'm the one that got the answer to what you need. Treat me bad. God will move me right on, won't even say a word to you. You'll say, hello, I won't even be able to speak to you because you're judging me on the way I look. But they taught me this, and I believe, don't judge the book by the cover. Yeah. I was a supervisor at a day labor company. And at the day labor company, there were some rough looking men there. They did skilled labor, semi-skilled labor. They weren't like the regular laborers, you know, or warehouse worker. They had some skills. And looking at these men, you would say to yourself, smoking crack, getting drunk like that, sleeping under buildings, in buildings, under trees, under the stars at night, nowhere to go, don't have nothing but a few tools and some work boots. Oh, no, they not the one. But guess what? I talked to one. He used to work for Martin Marietta. And he had clout. He had reached the corporate ladder. Spoke to another one. He was an attorney at one time. Oh, y'all won't hear me today. But to look at them, you never would have known. So you can't judge a book by the cover. Smart people don't do that. Another thing is this. Be careful now. For some have entertained angels unaware. Oh, yeah, we got to be careful. Real careful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Uh-huh. What you see is what you get, Sister Dot. I'm with you when you're right. I'm not dressing up for you. You're not that important. And then people lie to themselves. I'm doing all of this for me. Look at the whole picture. Some of they doing that for them. And when you look at the whole picture, this out of place, that out of place. Oh, come on now. Stop it. He said a liar ain't going to tear in his eyesight. Now, that's what he said. I didn't see it. You can't hold it against me. I wasn't there when God inspired man to write it, but I know it's true. But I am who I am. Accept me like I am. Or you be the group and keep it moving. Yeah, it's okay. Fionn, I have got to find that one. I got to find them Alabama girls. That to me, don't laugh. You knew I was going to laugh. And that is so true. You'll know if God sent them no matter the background. Because the spirit identifies the spirit. Yeah, the spirit agree with the spirit. You must always have that discernment on and ready at all times. I am with you when you write, honey bunny. Yes. And let me tell you, I have been in situations where I was tore up from the floor up, as they say, raggedy. And look like every man I come across, he, hey there, you're looking mighty nice. See, I don't you laugh. You're looking mighty nice today. I said to myself, this devil is a fool. And he think he'll make a fool out of me, not today. When I'm toe up, here they come. I've been in places where I was not dressing the part, but when I opened my mouth, they had respect. They had to respect it. And many times I done dressed up and all of this, and go out and say something, and they look the other way. What? Oh, we don't even know what she's talking about. Okay, and you got it, Fionn. You got it. Knowing, that's how you look it. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Did you know God could change your total look? I've gone in the store when I got ready to leave. I ain't say nothing about God or none of that. The cashier said, God bless you. I look back. How did you know I was a believer? I've been on the phone with customer service. And they said, God bless you, ma'am. You can't talk like that no more. They don't allow that on the job. How did they know? On the flesh and blood didn't reveal that to them. But we so walking in our flesh. We so walking in the world. We so want to be about that life. Don't even know what life it is. Corporate is the devil. They murderers, thieves, liars. I can't be partaker of foolishness. God will give me my own business before he let me be in some foolishness. That's because I trust him. I love him. I have faith in him. Remember this, those of us that come to him, we must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently trust him. We got to diligently seek him. Yeah. He's a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. We seeking everything else but him. Yeah. We seeking wives. We seeking husbands. We seeking children. We seeking prestige on the job. We seeking a better house, a better car, all of this stuff. But when we go to God first, make him first, he'll give us more than our hearts desire. When we delight ourselves in him, he'll give you more than your heart's desire. And the reason I say that, he's a more than God. So if you want more than, he'll give you more than. We falling short because we shortening God. We're not giving him everything. Yeah. Oh, I thank him today that I know him for myself. Thank you, Jesus. He's that kind of friend. Look, I'm going to one more quick song. And a Sion, it's not the one you asked for, but I will find it. And first thing tomorrow, I will play it. Uh-huh. I will play that one first thing tomorrow. But I'm going to dedicate this one to you, Sion.
No regret, no guilt or shame this time. No, not this time. Once I surrender, I won't dare look back. Cause if I do, I'll get off track. Move ahead in faith and patiently await your answer. What will it be? Sight beyond what I see. You know what's best for me. Prepare my mind, prepare my heart for whatever comes. I'm gonna be ready, strength to pass any. Somebody to broke down. So much.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we want to be ready. This time we're going to be ready. Hallelujah. We're looking back. We're looking in the book of Revelation. And we are trusting God to help us to prepare daily for his return. No matter what come our way, we are going to be ready. Listen, intercessors, I'm going to need us to lift up Sister Irene. She's been diagnosed with COVID. And she said she don't know where she got it from. So look, we're going to pray for her that God would touch and heal her body. She said she'd been real sick. Just a couple of days, I think it was Friday, we was laughing and talking and FaceTiming and having a wonderful time. And then she told me some things. And then today, I know I didn't see her in the studio. And so I texted her to check on her, you know. And she texted back and tell me these things. And she said the ambulance officers came by and checked on her. And that's a good thing. Because Irene is a good person. And she loved to laugh. And many people like her because of the laughter. And, you know, how funny she is and cool she is and down to earth and everything. And she have a giving heart. And so we thank God this morning that we have the opportunity to pray for her. Yeah. And so we thank him. We thank him. And I'm letting her know right now, we're praying. Praying for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You know, God is faithful. He is just a faithful God. And he's for us. Listen, we're going to pray out and we pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. And pray for one another. We pray for each other. Y'all pray for my healing and pray for me with the food diet change that I will stick to this thing and I won't go back to my old ways. Yeah, because I have to keep changing it because I get somewhere where I'm wanting what I want, and when I know that thing, I done ate pie, I done ate cake, I done ate fried this, and I can't have it like that. And the older I get, I'm changing the way I eat for me, you know, to be healthy and everything, and to keep getting a few pounds off. So y'all keep me lifted in prayer. Ask God to heal me, and totally, and it will be all right today in Jesus' name. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all that has been said and done. Thank you for your word today. For Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven. Your word is true. And as we depart this morning, sanctify us through thy truth. For Father, thy word is true. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to you at any time for any reason. Nothing is too small and nothing is too great. Your door is always open unto us. We're so thankful unto you for your son, Jesus Christ, for his suffering, him hanging, bleeding, dying, conquering all, and rising with all power. We thank you for your love that you so loved us. You sent him, you gave him. And Lord, we reverence you this morning. Hallelujah. There's none like you. Father, today as we depart, bless every caller and every listener, those coming through the archives and the podcast. Lord, whenever they hear this episode, bless their hearts, bless their minds, totally heal them spiritually, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Bless their family and friends, near and far, all of us, God, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. Heal spiritually today. In the name of Jesus, lead and guide them in the right path, Father. For your name's sake today, in the name of Jesus, we ask. And Father, every caller and every listener, whatever the need may be today, Father, we ask that you would supply it according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. Bless our going out today. Father, bless our coming in. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And Father, let this word today, the book of scriptures of Revelation, search. Lord, we ask that you would let it stick with us. Don't let it leave us. Lord, remind us that hell is real and it enlarges itself daily. Help none of us to go back, but God, to come all the way forward up in you. Lead and guide us again today in the right path for your name's sake. Give us testimonies, Lord, that we're not ashamed to share in the name of Jesus. We thank you this morning. Hallelujah. For all you've done already today, what you're doing right now, Father, and what you're going to do, all in the name of Jesus. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you, March 11, 2024, in Jesus' name. So look, we're going to take a listen at Pastor Larry Williams and new name this morning because he has given us a new name. Pastor Williams said, he's my father and I'm his boy. Oh, that tickled me so good. But I thank God for this song and I kept it for many a year. Yeah, I never hear from him and his wife, but I pray that all is well with them. And another thing, let's pray right quick. Father God, we ask that you would touch and heal Sister Irene. Lord, you know where this ugly spirit come from. So God, we bind it up and cast it to the pits of hell, never to return to her in the name of Jesus. And Father, we lose healing 100% to her, totally, mentally, spiritually, and physically unto her this morning in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you would rebuke that devourer, that evil spirit that has come in the form calling it COVID. Lord, we ask that you would rebuke it and cast it back to the pits of hell in the name of Jesus. Oh, we thank you. Hallelujah. We thank you. We thank you. Amen and amen. Listen, we're going our last song of the morning. And after this song, we won't be coming back. Have a blessed day. And I speak the blessings again of Almighty God upon each and every one, every caller and every listener, and those coming through the archives and the podcast in Jesus' name. So let's go to this one. New name is the name of it.
Because he lives, I live. Because he gave, I give. Because he bore my shame and took my place, he took my place. I can never be the same. Now when he looks at me, he sees Calvary. The cross of blood, the nail-pierced hand, his nail-pierced hand. Because of him I have a new name. New name, new name, new name. Satan got no hold on me. New name, new name, new name. I'm in him and he's in me. Sin, yeah. New name, new name, new name. He has given me a new name. Satan got no hope.
Number is 27 today for March the 11th, 2024. I forgot to announce this. I want to give some veterans some really nice hoodies, and it have their branch of military that they served in. And so I asked them to send me a picture where they're in their uniform and listen to the show and get the number. So today the number is 27. Tomorrow the number will change because I'm hoping more veterans will come and take a listen. So, all right. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We pray you bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. God bless you. God bless you real good. He has given me a new name.